Father, for your presence, your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here with us. Thank you for everything you have planned for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in continuing our series of fire starters, today we're going to be speaking about serving God from passion. And who's been getting stuff out of this series, by the way? Like, you feel like the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you? And,
amen.
Pull the plug or something. hopefully you didn't come to hear me speak. You ain't getting nothing, we're done. So, definition of serving says carrying out God's will as we partner with Him by using our gifts, talents, desires, and resources to bring His kingdom to our sphere of influence on earth. So the whole point of service is to partner up with God. It's not, more is me and, God is cracking the whip on us and I have to do this and I have to do that. But it's really coming into a partnership with Him, with the Father.
Amen.
To see what He's doing, to hear what He's saying, and then we partner in into that flow of the Spirit and ride that wave. And the purpose of doing that is to then release the kingdom, His kingdom that's already in us, out into the sphere of influence that we have, whether it's work or the supermarket, wherever, people we hang out with, whatever you do, sports with, whatever you do, activities.
Tough motor.
There you go. Tough motor, obstacle course racing. Great. You'd be surprised. You find a lot of injured people on those mountains. So you got to lay hands. And,
there you go.
So they can finish their race. So again, it's just about partnering and entering into that flow of the Spirit and seeing what He's doing so we could join. Now, here's the typical definition that we normally come to receive or sometimes even told to us, right, regarding serving God. And it's we have to do something for God out of obligation for what He did for us. Jesus died for us, bought us, and now we're His slaves. And again, that's kind of like the religion mindset that kind of makes you feel like, well, now you have to do this, or you owe God, or God died for you, so now He owns you, which He does. He bought us at a price, right? But it's not what He is longing for. It's not that type of partnership. It's not that type of relationship.
Amen.
And that really comes just from that spirit of religion, and even sometimes control. And what happens is that people become trapped into this serving mindset and into ministries just to fulfill a need, to plug a hole.
Right.
And, God hasn't called us to be hole pluggers. it's like there's a corkscrew for that or something.
Oh, jeez.
And we're not it. He hasn't called us just to fill a void or a need because there's a need. He's wired us in ways and given us different talents and characteristics and everything that is lined up for what He's calling us to do. And again, it comes into that partnering with Him, relationship with Him, so we can get into that flow of what the Spirit is wanting us to do in our sphere, or what He's doing in our sphere, and up for us to join Him and then become part of that. So there's a difference between being a slave and by compulsion and the willing bondservant slave that Paul was. As a bondservant slave, Paul and us, we can was a valuable asset contributing to the master's house as a business partner. So again, we have to be in tune with what the master of the house is doing. We have to be in tune with what the Father is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing. Paul didn't just go out there and say, well, I got to do this because now I'm saved and I'm a Christian and I got to do this. But it was more of, he was so in tune with the Father's heart and he knew what the Father wanted to do that he was in basically acting as the Father in those areas that he had influence in the places where the Holy Spirit was taking him to. He was acting as the representative of the Father because he knew the Father's heart. He had the Father's heart. So he can say, for an example, let's buy this and let's sell that, so to speak. If you're in charge of somebody's, it's that type of partnership. If you're in charge of somebody's resources, it's not, always like, go do this and go do that. But because he had that fellowship and he knew the Father's heart, he could go out on his own under the leading of the Holy Spirit and say, we're going to do this here and we're going to do that there. And again, it's all about building the relationship and partnering with the Father to release that and to do that. So God wants us to serve him out of passion and not sacrifice. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Come and follow, serve me, and I will make you fishers of men." Again, it ties into relationship. As we follow Jesus, he makes of us. Sounded right when I wrote it. I don't know. Who he has called us to be. So basically, as we are into this flow, as we are building the relationship, as we are partnering with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, then God is transforming and making of us of who he has created us to be and using us in the ways that he has created. He has made those good works for us to walk in before him, before the foundations of the earth. So as we continue to partner, again, the Father continues to use us in those areas and in the things he's planned for us. And we have that freedom to go out and do as the Father does, or as we see him doing, as we hear him saying. We have that freedom to go and move in that arena. Those who became Jesus' disciples left family homes, businesses, and businesses to follow him. Sacrifice only does what is required, but passion has no limits.
That's good.
Yeah, I didn't write that. So they followed him out of passion, having the opportunity to change the world as revivalists. The question is, are we willing to do the same, right? Mm. Are we willing to just come into that partnership where we move out of passion, where, it's not like, I'll do this, but that's as far as I go, or we do things because we feel obligated, as opposed to because we're so in love with God, and we're so in love with being in his presence, that no matter what, it's like, it's just the excitement is there, the passion is there. Race day is coming, it's like you start getting the butterflies, and it's like, you start thinking of, that what you're going to face or what you're going to do and what you got to do, and that excitement. It's the same way. Are we willing to just be laid down lovers and just catch that fire and the passion and start looking for, what is Daddy doing here? Or what's he going to do tomorrow when I show up to work?
Wow.
And that type of stuff. And really just go with it and run with it and take it. There's a big difference between serving God out of sacrifice and serving from passion. Passion's gonna be like no limits. You're just gonna be excited and you're running with it. Sacrifice is, it's always that point where it's like, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. There's always gonna be that limit, that threshold where we won't be willing to cross. Those who work out of sacrifice or for a paycheck only do what is required. Those who work out of passion for love go far beyond what is required. Love has no limits. And so when we're doing things out of the love for the Father, then there's no limits. Let's declare this. I am a person.
I am a
a person
that follows God,
out
of passion.
Right?
Take that and use it tomorrow morning. All right. What looks like sacrifice to the observer is often expressed as passion to the person serving. And, you know, basically people might just look and feel like, wow, you know, you're sacrificing so much. But for the person doing it, it is out of passion. It's like, man, this is nothing. I love this, you know. And mother caring for her child with Down syndrome serves from passion, love, not sacrifice. An athlete training for the Olympics pushes his or her body to the limits out of passion for the goal, of, you know, just that desire, that love that they have. You know, again, someone who's not into that would look at that and maybe see it as sacrifice, but to them it's all out of love. So it's like, you know, they have no limits as how far they go as far as caring or training for something, because it's passion, it's the love, it's what's burning inside of them. Vision provides motivation to serve God with passion. Hebrews 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross." So it's for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Basically, it's Jesus was looking at the finished product. Jesus was looking down the road, and for what he saw, what was set before him, he was able to endure that moment, the cross, the suffering, because he could see down the road. He could see over the hill. Mm. And because that just was joy to him, then he could endure this. So, again, if we have that vision, if we're looking out ahead, if we're looking at the finished product or the result, the end result of what we're trying to accomplish for God as individuals, as a ministry, it would give us that passion to endure and persevere no matter what we're having to deal with at the present moment. And, you know, it would give us the passion of burning us. It would be the fire for us to, like, wow, I see what's coming. I see what's ahead. I'm going for it. I'm excited. Jesus served the Father even though it severely cost him, because he had a vision for a restored relationship with us. Jesus was looking at the end result, the finished picture, and we must do the same. When people find something to live for, the vision, they find something they are willing to die for, and that's the passion. Let's do an activation. Let's take a couple minutes and let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us what is it that we're living for, to really show us what we're living for, and if it's connected to his kingdom purposes for us, what he's called us for. And then if it's not, then let's ask him to show us how to switch it around. Let's take a couple of minutes and just go before God. So, moving on. So when we have vision, serving God is a get to. You know, we get to do this. We get to join in. We get to partner in. Which relates to the passion. As opposed to a have to, which is more of a sacrifice. Well, I have to do this. It becomes like a burden, right, as opposed to, skipping our step.
Yeah.
So before Christ, we had to, right? We had to get saved. Once you are in the kingdom, nothing is a have to. You don't have to pray, you get to pray. You don't have to partner with heaven, you get to partner with heaven. Again, it's about the fellowship, it's about the relationship, it's about coming into that stream of the Holy Spirit, of what he's doing in our sphere, in our, you know, whatever gathering or, you know, our individual sphere, and coming into that partnership, you know, it's more of a pleasure You know, it's more the privilege, you know, of getting to join him, of getting to partner up with him, and being his hands and his feet here, and just allow him to work through us and release things. It's a privilege and not a duty. Partnering with God, it's a privilege and not a duty. God is looking for lovers, not workers. Matthew 22:37 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, all your heart, soul, and mind." So it all starts with love. If we don't love God, how will we love what or whom He loves? Right? You know, if we're not in love with the Lord, if we're not in love with the Father, then how can we go out there and demonstrate love to those that He loves?
Yeah, it's true.
It's pretty hard. And they'll see it. And they'll see that it's, you know, you're there to be there. So it all starts with love. Matthew 9:37-38. God is looking for laborers, workers in the harvest field, the world. And again, it's all out of the love and the passion. He's looking for who he wants, who's willing to come in and partner up with him and come into that. God wants us to do his work and will on the earth. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. It says, honor those who work hard among you. But again, the work is to be done out of love, out and from love, not for love, not because we have to. You know, that's another issue sometimes we fall into, is we feel that we have to strive to receive from the Father. We have to strive to be in good terms with Him. We have to strive to be loved more, something like that. And totally not the case. It's all out of love, out of passion, not out of sacrifice, not for love, not for something. Okay, so another three-part activation. First, let's ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. Keep.
Don't ask Him.
Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us if our service to Him is founded on love. And if it's not, then let's ask Him to show us why, and then to bring healing to that, whatever it is that He's showing us. If we're doing it for love, then let's ask Him to bring healing into that, so that, you know. So let's take a couple minutes, and again, let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us if what we do for Him is out of love, as opposed to for love. Mike Bickle says, workers work, but lovers get more work done than do workers. Passion provides power. In Acts 2, chapter 2, the disciples sat in intimacy waiting in the upper room. Their passion pulled on heaven, and power was provided that changed the world. Heidi Baker says, God is looking for lay down lovers. Let's make a declaration. I am a lay down lover.
Right.
Kingdom fruitfulness comes from rest. All tied into, again, this whole lesson ties into just being in intimacy with the Father, relationship, just flowing with what the Holy Spirit is doing, as opposed to striving. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me and I will give you rest. Now, what does a God's rest look like? Well, it's basically no more performance to get acceptance, no more striving to earn God's love, because it's already given. We already accepted in the Father, we're His beloved. He already gave everything He had to give, Jesus, for us. You know, He didn't hold anything back. So it's It comes from just knowing these things. Rest in God comes from being secure in who we are, His children, His sons and His daughters, His you know, beloved children, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Rest in God just comes from being who we are. And you know, anything we do is out of who we are, and it just flows from rest. It's as opposed to striving to try to earn something, as opposed to striving to get into His good graces or whatever. We're already there. We're flowing out of that, and that's where the rest comes from. You know, it's like flowing with the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's like being on the raft and allowing the river to take you, as opposed to constantly paddling. Trying to, I gotta do, you know, it's, you're still in the river, you're still in the flow, but when you're in that flow of the Holy Spirit, it's like being in the river and allowing the river to take you. It's easy. It's like the easy button, you know? It comes from rest. So no more performance, no more trying to get acceptance and any of that good stuff. It's, basically, if you look at a dog, right, he's a dog. The dog is not striving to be a dog, right? You know, he barks when he barks, and he, you know, jumps on you and licks your face. That's what dogs do, right?
Among other things.
Among other things. Squirrel. but basically, you know, he's not there like, all right, should I meow or should I bark? Should I, you know, do I bark now or do I wait? You know, he just is. He's a dog, and he does dog things. And that's what rest in God is. It's really just being you. It's being who God has created you to be, being the son or daughter that you are in Him. That's where the rest of God comes. And that's when we flow out of that, just by being who we are. Not trying to be who we are, not trying to be somebody else. It's just be you, and just know that you're loved, and you're His daughter, and you're His son, and just from being that who you are, and knowing that, that's where that rest comes from. As revivalists, we are called to live in revival rest. This is how we become fruitful in the kingdom. From living out of who we are and not striving to become someone. John 15:5 says, if anyone remains, rest in me, and I remain, rest in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And again, that ties into the whole vine and being, you know, the vine being attached to the
The branch.
The branch. It's a whole plant thing. So I'm a carnivore.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what it is, right? Just the branch is connected to the vine, or vice versa. And the point is, it's just there. They're one. They're connected. It's one. And it lives off the branch. The vine lives off the branch, and it feeds off of it. Or it's just a constant natural flow of being who you are, being who you've been called to be, and just being in that fellowship and partnership with the Father, and finding that stream that He's calling you to.
Amen.
You know, and when, you know, when we're walking out of that rest, you know, people will see that, and that is freeing to us. It's freeing to them because it's attract. You know, they'll be attracted to the realness, and the peace that we carry, you know, from being in that rest. You know, so just as God completed the work of creation, the world, Jesus has completed the work of salvation and new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. See, the work has been done. Jesus has already done the work, the hard part. It's just a matter of us, again, growing up out of who we are in Him, and knowing who we are.
Amen.
And that's about it. So in doing so, we get to enter God's rest, Hebrews 4, because of the work of salvation that Jesus already completed. He worked so that we wouldn't have to earn it, earn our acceptance, or salvation. We're already accepted in the Father. We're already, His beloved. And it's, again, just knowing that, working out of that, the rest that comes out of that, moving out of that rest. And when we're into that stream of the Holy Spirit where He's leading us, it's just, it's going to be something that's already connected to what He's put in us, how we're wired. It ignites the fire, the passion, and it just gets us going. And we can set it blazing, burn everything out.
Come on.